Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Welcome to Italian Wine Podcast. My name is Stevie Kim. I'm filling in for Monty. I'm stealing away a session from him. I started Monty Italian Wine Podcast about 3 years ago. I would really like to take this moment to thank all of the listeners out there. We have reached 250,000 listens the past 12 months. That is pretty amazing. I never thought when we started that we would be able to pull this off in such a highly specialized niche. So we are up to episode number 350-ish. And it's been a really great ride. Thanks to also Julia. When Julia, of course, has abandoned ship as a producer. She's now in Holland in a city where I cannot even pronounce. But she's now trying to become the rocket scientist that she had always wanted to become. So we're still in touch with her because we need her help once in a while. Thank you, Julia, so much. You know, if you're listening. And of course, now we have a new producer. He's a bit rigid. We call him the military man. He is Jacob on hand. So Jacob's sitting right next to me. And I also have Lan, who has helped get some questions ready for you, as well as Xiao Wen. So here today is a special episode. I am filling in for Monte because we want to talk about something very, very close to my heart. I used to go to China once a month. It hasn't been like this for a long time because now we have a new market person on hand, Simone from China. But Natalie Wang.
Hi.
I met Natalie Wang. How are you? Welcome.
Hi.
Ciao, Natalie.
I'm good. How are you?
Okay, sorry about the long preamble, but you know, this is what happens when they give me a mic. So it doesn't happen very often. I met Natalie Wang when I think she was still running drinks business in Hong Kong. She's, of course, a wine journalist. She's based in Hong Kong and she's worked for International Herald Tribune, Reuters, James Suckling, you name it. And anyone who's anyone in the wine business in China, of course, Natalie Wang is a point person for the China's wine market. And she's of recent started a new website called Vino Enjoy, right?
Vino Joy News, yeah.
Vino Joy. That's vino-joy.com. I really find this to be the go-to place for Chinese wine market right now. Why don't you tell us a bit about your website?
Oh yeah, definitely. Thank you for the lovely intro. Yeah, I started my website last May. The idea of creating the website is really to fill the void, to report on what's happening with China's wine market, as everyone is paying attention to it. Everyone is saying it's going to be the second biggest market next year. So naturally, there's a lot of interest. But unfortunately, in the market for a lot of foreign wineries, merchants, importers, there's not enough information on this part of market, on the key players, what's happening with the market, what are the latest trends. So that's really the original idea of creating the website to fill that void.
That is really fantastic. So anyone who's listening, please go check out vino-joy.com. If you can't find it easily, just do Natalie Wang and you will definitely see that. Go to her website. I highly recommend it. So you are originally from China, is that correct?
Yeah, I come from Chongqing in the southwestern part of China, actually near Chengdu, where we do the big wine fair.
And right.
Where I studied my master's degree in Hong Kong and continue to work and live here till today.
So you are what they call a Hong Konger or Hong Kongese? What's the difference? How do you say that?
It's not. I consider myself a Chinese. I haven't got a Hong Kong passport yet, so I don't think I can call myself a Hong Konger yet.
Right. Okay. Very good. But you're living in Hong Kong, right? You have been for the past few years, as long as I remember, or since I've met you.
Yeah, absolutely. I have been living in Hong Kong since 2011, so it has been 9 years already.
Okay. So listen, let's get to the market questions straight away. Let's dive into that. So, you know, if you can give us an overview, what are the key newsworthy insights you can share with our listeners regarding China's imported wine market, perhaps, you know, till now, the first half of the first semester of 2020, this crazy, crazy, crazy year, which we kind of want to forget and have a new start, but it is what it is, right? So,
indeed, I mean, I wish we can just cancel 2020 and move
forward. Go back. We thought 19 was bad, right?
I know, we thought 19 was bad, and then here comes 2020, completely disrupted everything. It has been very challenging for merchants, distributors, for sure, in China and in the rest of the world. We don't have the official data yet from China Customs, the wine import for the first 6 months of the year. But so far, they released the figure for the first 4 months of the year, and it's not very encouraging as we expected. I think for wine imports in terms of volume and value, we see a decrease of roughly 30%, which is quite a significant drop compared with the same period last year. In particular, in April, we saw the sharpest decline. I think the main reason was because in late January, the pandemic already hit China, and a lot of cities and provinces across the country imposed strict lockdown. A lot of the shops were closed, restaurants, wine retailers, all shut down, and that affected the orders coming into China.
Right. So we'll talk about that a little bit more specifically later on. But, you know, I'm mildly obsessed with Penfolds. Is Penfolds still the success story of China, even today?
I think largely you can say Penfolds still quite a success story in China in terms of really localizing the brand and adapting to the Chinese market. I mean, the significant thing happened in China's wine market last year. Australia, for the first time, surpassed France to become China's biggest wine supplier. And TWE, as the country's biggest wine group.
TWE, can you just, what is that? It's Treasury Wine Estates for our listeners, right?
TWE is the Treasury Wine Estates. It's a parent company of Penfolds. And Penfolds, of course, it is the flagship brand for them, and arguably the most powerful and most popular wine brand in China. And they're very successful with marketing, adapting to local market. But the uncertainty, of course, going into 2020 is the relations between China and Australia. As I reported for the website, you know, a few weeks ago, and the Chinese ambassador to Australia threatened to to cut wine imports and tourism to Australia. So we will see how that goes, whether that will play an impact on Australian wine imports to China. But we'll see.
What? I'm sorry, I completely missed that story. What was the story with that?
Basically, it was, I think, in late April or something like that. I have to check the time. But the Chinese ambassador to Australia said, in response to Australia's initiative to conduct an independent inquiry into coronavirus origin and spread, right?
Okay. So it has to do with COVID.
Yeah, it has to do with COVID, and China's side came out strongly protesting it, saying, well, if you do this, it's all political. We might have to rethink about wine imports, beef imports, soybean imports, whatever. So we'll see how that will play out. But fingers crossed, I hope leaders from both sides can see reason and rationality will prevail. But we'll see.
I think most of our listeners, I'm not sure they know, but Australia is the number one importer for China because Within that, 90% of Australian wine in China is, in fact, 90, crazy amount of wine is actually Penfolds. Is that still the case?
Yeah, I think that's still the case. If you combine the official data and the parallel traders, traded wines of Penfolds coming into the market.
Yeah, so that's a little bit, I think, misleading in a way when we talk about Australia. Anyway, going forward, these specific months during COVID, so Australia, France, Chile, Italy included, which is a little, I'm partial to, have they adapted to the COVID situation in terms of the China's wine market? Have they done anything to minimize the damage? Have they taken any preventative measure or proactive actions for the current situation?
From my point of view, when I see the reactions from those countries, mostly I see a more coherent response from, wine trade associations, for instance, like Wine Australia, Wines of Chile, or CIVB. I think from the onset of the pandemic, I see more efforts coming from Australia, for instance. Early on, they announced they were going to postpone a lot of the wine tastings, a lot of the wine events, and roadshows planned for mainland China. And also, I think it was late February, they already announced they're going to withdraw from the Nexpo. So they acted pretty fast. Yeah, definitely. And then they teamed up with wine educators, influencers to do online streaming, online talk, online education course. So I think that's something a lot of the wine trade associations like Wines of Chile, Wine Australia, CIVB for Bordeaux, and certainly even Italy have been doing during the COVID to adapt the changing situation.
So let's dive a little bit into social media, online e-commerce in China. First of all, your website, Vino Joy, why is it called Vino Joy? Vino, I think it was a great idea, of course.
But joy is really just, we thought, wine is something that brings happiness to people. So that's something we want to emphasize. And for selfish purpose, my Chinese name also means happiness. So I thought, throw that in there. It's really lazy.
Great. I think it's great. Except the dash, I'm unhappy about the dash. But I guess Vino Joe wasn't available.
It wasn't available. Someone already took it.
Yeah. I hate the dash and the underscore and all of that stuff, but that's just my pet peeve, So your website is actually in English. How do you communicate with the Chinese? Do you have another platform for that?
Yeah, absolutely. With our readers in China, we do postings through WeChat, which is a all-in-one messaging app launched by Tencent, its parent company. Actually, it's more than a messaging app. It combines social media, messaging, WePayment, everything, shopping, e-commerce. Whatever you can think of, you can find it through WeChat.
When I first came to China, and I convinced my team, first of all, it's a bit odd, but in my office, we're in Italy, but our main form of, we don't use Slack. I mean, Slack is something very recent. We used actually WeChat, right? So people think it's crazy. And when I first learned about WeChat, I think it was about, I maybe like 8 years ago.
Wow. That's
when it first came out, I was one of the first users. And I tried convincing, I recall this very distinctively. I was trying to convince Sicilian wine producers that they have to be on WeChat if you want to sell wine in China, right?
Successful.
And I convinced them by saying, like, if you shake, that shake feature, you can find anybody you're interested in perhaps dating right near you. So that was kind of a trick that I used to get people on WeChat. Of course, now it's much more diffused. And luckily, the Italian wines, wine producers are also on that. Listen, talking about WeChat, can you just give us a super, super skinny dummy guide to social media in China? WeChat, Weibo, TikTok. We just started a TikTok account. We're a bit obsessed with it because they don't like us very much. I think we're too old, you know. And wine, definitely. There's nothing on wine actually. So I'm still confused what Penfolds did exactly to get the success.
I think early on, it was 7 years ago, they already hired an agency to work on the WeChat. So they started the subscription account way earlier. And then right. I'm already, Penfolds is quite popular. It has recognition. It has popularity in China, so naturally, and attracted a lot of followers. The thing they did very well is the market penetration. They have so many distribution channels. I mean, the chances of someone knowing the brand Penfolds compared to someone knowing maybe a Sicilian wine brand is much, much higher. And also the name of the Chinese transliteration is very auspicious. It's a literal translation of chasing prosperity. And for a lot of Chinese, they absolutely think it's lucky. So that quickly caught on. Yeah, but then once again, back to China's social media, I mean, we have WeChat. That's the main app people are using nowadays. And
so that is like the go-to go-to app, right?
Absolutely. I mean,
can you just give us a small like functionality of WeChat? I guess Lan can do that too. But for those who are unfamiliar, why is WeChat important to communicate with the Chinese market?
Yeah, for sure. Like, think about it. China is a country with 1.4 billion people, right? And WeChat alone has roughly 1.15 billion monthly active users. So just look at the penetration and its coverage in the market. For sure, it's the most used app in China. And it's a super app that has the feature of messaging, for instance, like WhatsApp. And also it has the feature of social media. So think about combining WhatsApp, Facebook, Twitter, Amazon, PayPal, even Tinder into WeChat, like the shake feature that you mentioned as well. So, and also, it has, and the app hailing, taxi hailing too. So if you want to, hail a cab or anything, you can do that through WeChat as well. Buy, box office tickets, anything imaginable, you can do it through WeChat. It has become this massive ecosystem for a lot of, features on social media. Yeah.
I mean, I remember Alibaba came up with their competitive, platform.
It didn't work.
And it never worked, right? Because why didn't it work, in your opinion?
I think at the beginning it was because a lot of people were using what Alibaba was trying to do is they want to roll out like a messaging app, but primarily those messaging apps are used by online shoppers. So it never really branched out into those non-online shoppers, if you know what I mean. And then Tencent already before WeChat, they had QQ, that's another messaging app. So for a QQ user to transition into using WeChat, that was sort of like relatively easier because it's under the same umbrella.
Yeah, I mean, I would recommend that, I think it's common public domain now that if you want to do business in China, you cannot afford not to have WeChat. I think everybody knows now that unless you have VPN, Facebook, Western social media are banned in China. So you can't open your Facebook or Instagram and often also Google. I don't know people realize that. So there is a natural barrier, whether you like it or not. And I think it is it is absolutely important that people understand that if they want to, you know, have business in China. And this is what I tell my Italian wine producers. Listen, Natalie, listen, we're going to break away right now. And then maybe we can continue the conversation in a little bit, because it's already about 20 minutes into the conversation. So I want to break this up maybe into two parts. We'll come back and we'll talk about the KOLs. What is KOL, e-commerce, and maybe a little bit about, you know, your crystal ball reading predictions for the future.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, no problem.
So stay tuned, everybody.
Listen to the Italian Wine Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Himalaya FM, and more. Don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. If you enjoy listening, please consider donating through italianwinepodcast.com. Any amount helps cover equipment, production, and publication costs. Until next time, cin cin.